by all means, please, please follow the Lord and do what the Lord would have us all to do. When we leave here after a while, we can say it's been real good. It's already been good for me to be here this morning, but I appreciate all that's been said and the songs and just the good spirit that I've been able to feel. We need the Lord's help today, and I don't know your heart's condition here today. I am very persuaded that there's a lot of you here today that are saved. And you know, somebody says, well, you don't know if somebody else has been saved. Well, I can beg to differ on that, because I know some people that I know that's saved, because you can relate that, as I said earlier, and there's a common salvation the Bible talks about. There's something that we can relate one to another about, and that's a born again experience. You know, we come from probably all different walks of life as far as our careers and things that we do in the world, but when we come together in this capacity we are here today, all that's put aside. And we come together in spirit and in the bond of peace and love and unity. And then we can share the gospel and just have a good service for the Lord. I'm here to do His will, whatever it may be. And there is some scriptures been bearing up on my mind for a few days, and how we'll deal with all this. We'll let the Lord lead as He sees fit. So just pray for us today, and I'd like to urge you too, when you go to pray, and if you ever remember it. My wife, we had our two grandchildren last night. I've got five grandchildren. They ages from 7 years old to 2 months old, and it's not too early to start asking people to pray for my grandchildren. I don't mean to be selfish in that, but they're mine. And I want them to be saved someday. So you think I hadn't got a lot to fight for and a lot to stand up against? Standing for something is one thing, but standing against something is something else too. It's not a popular thing. The sister had since said something a minute ago in her testimony that kind of struck a nerve with me, and a good one, that our comfort zone. None of us likes to get out of our comfort zone, do we? None of us do. But the Apostle Paul, in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, it says Paul went house to house, testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks. That was repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. Do you think he didn't get out of his comfort zone? I'm sure he did. Probably more than one occasion. He was a special call from God. I believe that with all my heart. And he surrendered to the will of God when he was saved on the road to Damascus, and was there for about 3 years in Arabia and went preaching the gospel. And I don't think he ever looked back. And he had a lot of heartaches, took a lot of whippings, beatings, but he didn't look back. A prime example is our Lord Jesus. He preached his own gospel. Began there at the Capernaum and Sea of Galilee, and he gathered up his people, and John the Baptist came along before he did and prepared the material for Jesus to build his church. And he built his church according to Phil chapter of Luke, I think it is. He went up into the mountain and had many disciples with him. And out of those multitude, the Bible says, he chose 12. And I believe that he first, the Bible says in Corinthian letter, that he first set the apostles in his church. So I believe the apostles was the very first ones that he set in church. And there was many followers after him. So they had Jesus in a bodily form to teach them and guide them and walk with them throughout that particular time. And so they had him. But they had he told them and instructed them that he was going to leave. And he gave them some assurance that when he would leave, he would not leave them comfortless. And they still didn't get it. If you really, really study that, the Apostle Peter, never did really get it until Jesus was gone. Now think about this. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up with the 11, Judas had departed and had cast lots, and another one was cast lots upon Matthias, I believe it was, but Peter stood with them and he preached. And the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon that church. Peter loved the Lord throughout his ministry as far as walking with him. But really, I believe on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in a mighty flame, empowered them to go and preach the gospel, what a wonderful thing it was. And the church was sent out into the world at the full commission. When Jesus was here, they was under what we call the limited commission. But now they've got the worldwide commission to go. And here's where we pick it up. Now, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for evidence of things not seen. Latter part down in that same passage, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's for you and I too that's saved. That's not only for the lost people. We still seek the Lord, or I do. I seek the Lord for guidance. I seek the Lord for sermons. I seek the Lord on a daily basis, or I try to find His guidance. And we find His guidance throughout the Scriptures and throughout the blessed Spirit of God. So we are and have an opportunity to be led of the Lord. So by faith, I was thinking of this. It's kind of ironic. I was thinking about this, and I said, hey, I'm going to faith. And I had this somewhat the subject on my mind and was thinking about it. But it says in another passage in here, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. For by faith the elders obtained a good report. This is in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm sorry for not telling you that. There's many characters throughout the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it's too numerous to go through all these. You could start a series of these and preach on them for a good long time before you ever got finished, because there's a lot of characters in this. But we walk by faith. Every single one of us got up this morning. And ones that are in present today, you knew, or you had faith that you were coming to church today here at Faith Missionary Baptist Church. There was no doubt in your mind that you was not going to be here. You was going to come to church today. Well, that's faith. That's believing in something that's not already happened, but you believe that it will happen. And throughout the report that the elders had in the Old Testament throughout, here's so important. Even though you may have got up this morning and believing that you would attend church here, you may have not made it today. But see, you believe that you would come. See, the elders and the people in the Old Testament, here's what they all said here. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. I love what Abraham said. He says, I saw his day and was glad. So it's always been by faith. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was of God. He saw what was going to happen in the future. He trusted and he believed in that. And that's what we're... Even though if you didn't make it this morning, for some reason, you say you believe that you would come. You may have had a car wreck this morning, or something may have happened. Who knows? But see, we get up every morning. We've got faith in so many things. Now listen, our culture, I believe we'll all agree, is really changed In the last 15 years. I'd say really, really changed in the last 15, 20 years. And it's not for the better. I hate to tell you that. It's not for the better. It's not. And we're heading in a direction that's not good. And I am very alarmed. I'm troubled over what my grandchildren are going to see in their future. I don't know how you feel about this. That's why we must believe and trust God and pray and ask Him to help our children and our grandchildren, help our churches to grow like it once was. Our churches are weak today. They're not like they once was. And this is not an isolated thing. This is kind of a overall thing somewhat. But there's still encouragement to be had. There's still work to be done. And the Bible says just where two or three are gathered, He promised He would be with us in the midst, and He would come and bless. I am the best blessed person I know of. And I'm sure you would say the same thing about your own self. You are so blessed. We've been fortunate. Blessed by God. I was raised in a good old-time missionary Baptist family home. Good parents. Good grandparents. The type of raising that I tried to pass on to my children. That right is right and wrong is wrong. There's no gray area in that. And that if you want to get ahead in life, you work hard. You don't nip off of everybody else. You work for what you get. And I admire people who has that type of attitude, because I get up in my work and I believe I enjoy what I do. But I tell you what, we need to really seek out. I probably do too much sometimes and get away. But here I'm going a little bit further on down in some of the heroes that I'd like to bring mention here. We all understand Moses, how he came along. I'm sure all of us, how he was thrown down the Nile River or what it was, and they picked him up and he was raised under the Pharaoh. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, or when he growed up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a Hebrew. Killed a man. The Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of this world has really overwhelmed a lot of people, even God's people. It's just only pleasure for a short time. Now, I want to say something that I think you may agree with me and you may not. We love sin. Our bodies, our old wicked old bodies love it. But here's the difference. If we've been saved by God's grace and we really know the Lord, there is such a warfare going on. The brother spoke about the peace that when he went into the doctor's office. You can't get that from humanity. Nobody can give you any kind of peace like that. Yes, there is a peace that does surpass all understanding. That's a huge statement in Scripture. It surpasses all understanding. And we have a continual warfare. It's warring against us every single day. Our flesh warring against the spirit. Sister talking about our comfort zone. We need to get out of our comfort zone and do what the Spirit of God does, that we can overcome the flesh. Amen. We can overcome. Can we not? Now every one of us work, I'm sure. Or some of you retired. And wherever you go tomorrow, you're going to get up and go to work. Now, what are you going to do tomorrow at work when you work with your coworkers? How many of you work with unbelievers? Maybe none of you. Some of you do. Now, the Bible says that Jesus, I love His statement. He says, I am the light of the world. Then He looked, told the church, He said, church, ye are the light of the world. By faith, we are supposed to be the light of this world. And when we go to work tomorrow, they should not see doom and gloom in our face. They shouldn't see a bad attitude in our life. We should be the happiest, smilingest people in the world, but yet burdened, maybe over your co-workers or your friends' children or whoever it may be. There is a big difference. We can be burdened, but yet have a smile on our face. Be encouraged. Even though things don't look good, golly, look at the characters in the Bible. Look at so many characters. Abraham left his own country, left his own people, and he went out not knowing where he was going. But he believed God at the promises he had. So when we go and we witness to people, when we talk to people, yes, we are witnesses. If you're saved, you are a witness for Jesus Christ. Man, woman, boy, girl, whoever it may be, you are a witness. And you can help people find the Lord. You can do that. And you can be a witness, and I'm sure you are. I just want to admonish you and encourage you to continue to do that. If not doing it, start doing that. My grandpa was a deacon at Cedar Bluff Missionary Baptist Church. My pa was not one who spoke a lot, but he was very humble. And if I could be a third of what he was, I would be very fortunate. But when he spoke, everybody listened. Kind of like that old commercial when E.F. Hutton, I think it was, spoke. Everybody listened. Wisdom was his attribute. Knowledge was his attribute. He could discern things that was so... I'll tell you, give you an example. One time, he was a... R.O. Sanders was a pastor. Remember, any old-timers remember R.O. Sanders? This was back in the 50s, my pa. He was an avid reader of Scripture, and he was a man of faith. Man of faith. But pa, my Mammy Dolly, that was her name, she would read to him. Every night, they'd sit by the lamp, and she would read him Scriptures. Well, there was a place in Jeremiah when it talked about the first people who took a tree. Now, if this is offensive to anybody, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. I don't want it to be. But I remember this. Mammy Dolly was reading to him about the first people who took a tree and put gold and silver and decked it out and glorified that tree, whatnot, were heathens. So they wanted to bring a Christmas tree in the church sanctuary one time in the 50s. Pa said no. And he called them heathens. He said, that's the first one who done that. See, standing for something is one thing, standing against something is something else. He stood against that. They ended up about excluding him, but then all it was all said and done. He stayed with Scriptures. He would never hardly put a Christmas tree. We've glorified Christmas till we've blown it way out of proportion. Amen? That's right. We shouldn't be doing that. We should glorify the Son of God. Glorify Jesus. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't glorify those things. But people is glorified. And took Christmas out of what it was. But he didn't want that tree in that sanctuary. This is the place where we come to worship. Like Abraham went yonder into the mountain with his son. To do what? To worship God. Got all his things together up there and got the fire and all that. Where's the offering? Isaac said, God will prepare. And God did prepare. He was willing to kill his own son. Raise the stake up. Getting ready to kill him. Angel of the Lord come and staged his hand, looked over there in their thicket, was a ram. There was a sacrifice. Listen, by faith, people, is how we walk in this life. By faith, my pa prayed for me. I know down through the years he was done, passed away before I began preaching. But he was a man of faith. So we need to be people of faith and people of action. You know, faith without works. We know what that says there. Let me go to that. I hadn't even thought about that passage until just then. But listen to what it says here. Listen to this. And what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man says he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Or can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, Betsy, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee faith by my works. Big difference, isn't it? If a person's got faith, you'll see the works. You'll see them doing that. And that's a wonderful thing to know. Thou believest that there is one God. Even the devils believed, and also they trembled. Listen, my friend, one day we're getting out of here. Let me go to another couple of passages of Scriptures that I thought was very intriguing to me concerning this. And I like it when I can go in here and things will come alive to us. I love my Bible. I love the Word of God. I love what it teaches. We just need to adhere to it and believe it. There was a time in the Bible when, and we need to be more concerned. Anybody disagree with me? We need to be more really concerned. When Jesus was, I love to study His life. I love to study from the time when He's a little fella all went up through the years and all these things. And you know, he was the light of the, around there. Now, let me say this, and I've said this many times. I'm not a protester. You won't see me with a sign up in Washington, D.C. walking around the Capitol protesting. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus' protest was Himself alone. His walk the way He walked and the talk the way He talked was enough. Your walk and your talk is plenty enough for God. So they seen Jesus doing all these wonderful, many miracles. This is recorded in the 5th chapter of Luke 2, I think it is. Now listen to what he says here. Let me say this first. This is not isolated. We don't carry the burdens like we once did. Am I right? Am I right about that, brother? Am I okay to say that and not get in trouble? We don't carry the burdens that our forefathers and mothers carried. We don't. And that's sad. We don't hear people. I know it's different now, but I got a farm I go to, and that's where I go to get peace or find serenity or find get some stress off. I just find it. I love being by myself. No other people around. Just me and the Lord doing what we do. And that's peddling on the farm, fooling with the cows, whatever it may be. I enjoy that. But people, we need to be burdened too. We need to be burdened for our people. And here's a very important scripture. The Bible says that Jesus often did this. He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and He prayed. Oftentimes Jesus would do a work. He would do a miracle or something. And then the next thing you know, He was out there in the wilderness by Himself praying. Told some of the disciples, "You stay here, I'm going yonder. I'm going to go pray. I got to talk to the Father. I've got some issues that I need to talk to the Father about. There's some things we need to talk about, Lord." He loved to talk to His Father. And I'm telling you what, they had a... Now listen, I believe they're all three are one. But they all three have different offices. And we know that. But Jesus talked to His Father. He knew that He was going to have to do what He had to do. He withdrew Himself in the wilderness and he prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, He was teaching. And there was Pharisees of the doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now we know about the Pharisees and the doctors and the scribes and all those that, and the lawyers trying always to trip up Jesus. If they tried to trip Him up every which way they could. And Jesus is sometimes silence. Sometimes just being silent whooped them down. And one time I believe they said something about that Jesus talking to them about whether it be about John Baptist's baptism or something, he's preaching. Whether it be of God or whether it be a man, they couldn't answer the question. Either way, they were stumped. Anyway, he went on to say, here's what happened. 18th verse. And behold, men brought in a bed of a man which was taken with a palsy. In other words, he was sick. He was in the bed. He couldn't walk. He couldn't function. And the Bible says, and they. There's some God's people here that done a wonderful thing for the Lord. But it took their actions to get it done. It says, and they sought means to bring Him in and to lay Him before Him. Lay Him before Him. So they sought means to get this man that was sick. And I believe one of the other Gospels talk about they couldn't get in because of the press. In other words, the multitude of people, they couldn't find their way through there. So what the Bible says, they went and they went on top of the house. And they began to tear back the tiles and all the things and get an opening up there. And here Jesus was sitting right down in the middle preaching the gospel. healing people, doing the wonderful, many wonderful works. And here's what they said. It says, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him, and because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. Did you read that scripture? Do we believe what happened? That actually was an event that really physically took place? This was a physically demanding job of these people. I'm sure had a homemade ladder or had something to get up on the housetop. Had to have some kind of working tools or by hand or something and rip a hole in the roof. Then they had to raise him up on the roof. I'm sure the bed had four corners. I don't know exactly how they did it, but they raised him up, and here Jesus was, and they had a hole up there. And you can imagine, they lowered him down. The Bible went on to say it says this, and listen, and when he saw their faith, you think God don't have respect to his people's faith on behalf of other people's circumstances? He certainly does. When we pray for the sick and the afflicted, God has respect to them. I pray in this way: God, if it be thy will, heal so and so. But I know it's God's will that he will save anybody. Big difference. Somebody done saved and ready to go, I don't mourn too much over them, especially if they're going up in the years. Matter of fact, I rejoice. I preached a funeral the other day, 90-year-old. Left a good testimony. I preached that funeral and I had one of the greatest times ever preaching. I just preached an old-time Baptist sermon. And we had a big time. What can you say over somebody's done, over a body that somebody's ready to go to be with the Lord and live 90 years? What can you say? They preach their own funeral. Amen. All we can do is try to help the ones that are left behind, the lost ones, encourage the other ones as well. Here, these people, he saw their faith. And he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. Now listen, you don't think this man wasn't concerned about his own condition? Sure he was. Now here's the key to this. It's not in Scripture, but think with me for a minute. As they were, they had this man in this bed or couch, whatever what it was, and you think they wasn't talking to him about what they fixed to put lower him down to? We're going to carry you to somebody can get you fixed up. They were encouraging him, hold on a little longer, and we will get you the right doctor. And that's what we need to have, that kind of burden for our lost people. Hold on, we're going to get you to the Lamb of God. People, we need that. Oh, we need that so much. So here, they saw their faith. This man was healed. Of course, it tripped up the Pharisees. Oh, this man jumped up. Got to walking, doing things. It just blowed people's minds. And God always, I see, look, this other night, a little more get saved. So, got to see that. When's the last time you really got to see somebody burst up off the altar and their little old smile would just went from frowning to just glowing? Now, that's a wonderful thing. And I tell you what, when you see that happen, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. I mean, there's nobody or anything on this earth can take a little old heart of a little boy or girl, and they're in trouble and they don't know how to pray. I mean, the instructions they've got is you just like seek, and just keep seeking the Lord. They don't know nothing about scriptures. They don't know nothing what how to believe. But here's what we did. We did like this man here. They bring them. They set under the gospel. They encourage them. You'll know when you're lost. I love our doctrine. Somebody says, well, how do you know you're lost? You'll just know. Anybody have a better answer? I don't have a better answer. You'll just know when you become lost. And better than that, when God saves you, you'll know that. You don't have to peck on somebody's shoulder or ask mama, daddy, preacher, or any of those. You'll just know it. You'll just know when the burden rolls away and the peace and the joy. And the Bible says, for it's by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Even grace is a faith. God grants us the faith to believe that He is our Savior to us. God grants us all these things. So we really don't have nothing to do with salvation other than repent and believe. That's what Jesus said do. Repent and believe the gospel. John the Baptist, repent, repent. Paul, repent, repent. We repent, repent. Well, how do you repent? You can't repent without faith. Faith and grace and all those things. They're just, they're one and the same. I mean, listen. God grants us these things. And listen, I am very thankful to be saved. I am very thankful to be saved. I was saved in 1973 and on July the 6th. And I said it, I didn't think about this the other day, and I just I turned 50 in last September, and I was saved 40 years last year and been married for 30 years. So I had a 30 and a 40 and a 50. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful. I don't know what else I could say today, but I want to encourage you. I love Brother Benny and his wife. They will treat you like kings and queens here. Now listen, he'll preach the gospel to you. He'll get on your toes too, won't he? Need to. We all need to. We do it out of love because we want people to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And I'd love to see our churches really get empowered again. But there's still hope, and there's a great hope. There's a great opportunity that lies before us. And there's other places in the Bible, the little Gentile. There's so many of them there that you find so many prime examples of their faith. Sometimes you preach on that subject, sometimes people go to sleep. But let me tell you what, it ain't nothing to go to sleep about. Because in the morning you're going to get up by faith. And you're going to get up, you're going to take a shower. And you're going to believe that you're going to get to work tomorrow or wherever you're going to go. You're going to do that. You don't think nothing about it. We have faith in our bank systems and things of that nature. If you didn't, you wouldn't put your money there. That's how, you know what I mean? But our main faith is faith in Jesus. Faith in the Lord God. He is all. Somebody said, he's all we need. Yes. Let me say this. He's all we got. And he's all we need. We don't need nothing else except Him. Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it. May God bless you. Hope you got something out of it, a little bit of it. And just pray for us wherever we go. We're not pastor now and kind of enjoying here and there in different places. And pastor most of the years, but I like going different places. It's sad in some places we go, and it is. Brother Benny, I know what I'm talking about. And I appreciate the reports I've been getting, and so may God bless you. Just get us a song, brother, if you will. I don't like to ramble, so I don't want to do that. Just have a Christian handshake. This old owner's bench here is open. If anyone would like to come and seek the Lord, if you're unsaved, or whatever the case may be, I'm just glad I'm saved. And I'm glad you're saved. And so let's just all fall forward. Go ahead, brother.
Let's all stand, turn the page number 58. I'm a home prepared where the saints abide. Over in the glory land, and I long to be by my Savior's side. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land.
for the song. Appreciate your attention today, and just may God bless you, richly bless you, and in your future. Anyone got something up on your heart? Anything you'd like to say? Anything at all? Bless you, ma'am. Appreciate this. Anyone else got something? Just feel free. Feel free. Okay. Absolutely. I don't know who's visitors and who's not, so we're just glad that everybody's here that's here. Absolutely. And you that are visiting, I'm sure you're welcome to come back anytime. And please come. Being with your family, as a pastor, you grow up and you preach here and preach there, and you got your family, and then you just brought in so many different directions, and you go in places, and you that's got your home here with your family, well, that's a wonderful thing. We're here and we're there, and it's my wife was the daughter of a Baptist preacher, and here and there and everywhere, and never was settled down any particular place too many years at one time. But that's just the call. That's just the call of the work, and it's okay. It's okay. Anybody else got something up on your heart? Anything at all? Absolutely.
I also glad to see our ministers
that
are with us today and
invite them
to come back
anytime. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, Brother Benio will be getting back in about any time, won't he? It won't be long. I'm sure he's had a safe trip back, but I believe that he is. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else? If not, we might bring the service to a close. And I think you guys meet back here tonight. I think he's coming back tonight. He told me he'd be here to preach for you tonight. So he probably can come and clean up my mess. So was talking about that. So, but I love Brother Benny. And so when's y'all's revival?
Y'all got it?
Third Sunday in June. Okay. 7 o'clock. Okay. All right, remember that. All minds and hearts freed up. Everybody freed up. Let's all stand together. We'll be dismissed. Brother Jimmy, is that right? Would you dismiss us, please?
Thank you.